This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everybody. It's John Warden. This is Real Talk. I'm on with Catherine Madden. I keep calling her Miller. I keep messing that up. So my apologies to the husband, okay? And I don't want to make him madder, Mr. Madden. So, and then I have Tom Moody, who is, you just never know, first of all, what he's going to say, but you never know what he's going to wear. And when he comes in, he either glows or you have to make him smile so you can see him. But those are things that happens around this wonderful studio called Champion Services. And we're having a good time this morning, and we hope you have your coffee and you guys are ready to go, or maybe it's ice cream. Maybe you need a muffin. Maybe it's a chicken sandwich. Maybe it's collard greens. I don't care. It all sounds good to me. We'll just get right in the middle of this thing. Now, we're going to take on somewhat of a serious subject today, I think, that gives us the mindset of where we are in terms of prosperity. Let's just talk locally in the county. So when we look around the room, we hear all the news and all the big hubbub of, is this one coming, the Silfabs of the world and the Octapharma and all the incomes they're bringing and all those wonderful things. And those are all blessings to the county, and we love that. And so these are all the things that's going to increase income capabilities. Well, what about the low income? What's happening in that world? And Tom, you know, you're in real estate business. You're in the market, if you will, for all sorts. You can sell the expensive things on the lake all the way down to whatever it is we need. You and I have done a lot of business together. And, you know, I provide some moderate livings and that sort of things in terms of properties that I own and different things like that in the county. And you love that and you want it to be the best it can be. But I guess it touches my heart a little bit is to think, everything's always about the new thing coming. What about the good folks that have been here for a while that are doing all they can? These are wonderful, salt of the earth, blue-collar kind of people, get up and go to work every day, and they have for years. There's a number of them all around us. And so my idea behind it is, and let's talk through today, what's improving for them? Tom Moody?
Well, good morning. Glad to be here. I missed everybody, especially you, John.
Thanks. And kisses later.
Love you too.
But seriously, this is something that's a big deal to me because I feel like it's something that it's talked about, but nobody really does anything about it. And what I mean by nobody, I mean from a county or a city or a municipality, a state level. Like we have federal funding for first-time home buyers, but even then, the average price of a house right now in York County is almost $400,000. You know, that is a lot of money with interest rates being as high as they are. If you go with no down payment, you're paying $2,500, $2,600 a month. That is a ton of cash for a lot of people. It's a ton of cash to me.
Absolutely.
So now you and I both have RV parks. We have RV parks / mobile home parks. So a big apartment complex will come in town and they're going to say, okay, 10% of our homes, of our units, will be for low-income housing. And then that's a whole other category where you have to qualify for that low-income housing through Section 8. And I'm familiar with that. And the waiting list on that is a mile long. What I think there's room for is, what about the people that actually, they're doing okay, but they don't need a 5,000 square foot home. They don't even need a 2,000 square foot home. Why can't you and I go down here on the edge of York County, buy 50 acres and make a tiny house community out of it, make a campground, but not a campground like KOA, a campground where people live year round. The market has it. So the issue is zoning. So it becomes this, if I live in a neighborhood and all of a sudden somebody opens a tiny home community next to me, well, then I'm going to go, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. So I think that we have to start to think where we can provide housing that's not necessarily low income housing, but affordable housing. Because people will live there. You and I know that. People will live in a smaller structure?
Well, in a transition period in my time, when I first got married the first time, I lived in a camper trailer.
That's right.
I pulled it up in a actually lived on a very park that I own now.
Yeah.
In fact, right now, it's not like a shrine or anything, but that particular space stays empty. Because I never want to forget where I came from, to be honest. You want to grow from that. And you can always go back and say, when things get so heavy and you think you've arrived, you know, and those are the things that we really get into. And boy, we've touched on some nerve there, Tom, and it's beautiful points. And I got to tell you, when I sit here, I can kind of get a little bit of emotional, because sometimes the great people that are getting left behind don't necessarily measure up to the direction of some of the leadership in the county and where they are and where they've been. Mobile home parks and all that, they're shunned upon. Mobile homes and all that. If you don't do it by this way and this way, and I know all the rules because I've had a number of them.
And they make it impossible.
And they make it impossible for those who want to live independently of their own.
Yes.
They don't want necessarily to go Section 8 housing.
Right.
They don't want to have to live in that. But what we've begun to do, which is kind of a little bit of a burr in me, because I own a number of these, and there's more restrictions they're trying to enforce, more and more and more. But you take a community, like I own a number of them that have, such as you're talking about, creating. That you can't create a RV / mobile home park in this county anymore.
Right.
Won't
you
do
can't
it,
do
won't
it
consider it, they won't zone it, they're not going to allow it. And so the aspects of what happens here is that we're forcing people to be in a position to either be affordable to the $400,000 or whatever it is, or they can't afford it. And so now they have to work. Everybody's got to work. Everybody in the house has got to work to support our 22, 23, 2400, 2600, of which they're building everywhere apartment, of which there's never any return. There's no ROI on renting. There is no such of a thing. When you put that money out and that money goes out the door, you're done. And in that, the affordability of that is becomes such a toxic behavior for the family unit. It causes so much stress. And so the idea is to bring awareness, Kat, to people that can see beyond, let's make the county look better. Let's go change zoning so we don't have to see mobile homes from the street, or we don't want them there. Now, we've gotten spoiled. We've actually outgrown the humanity aspects of where we are. We've got documents here to talk about how shelters and all the places that people are that we can get to, and we'll get into that a little bit, and all the places that the result of something in their life, maybe affordability, maybe a breakup, maybe their choice. They're homeless. They're this, they're that. And we have all these beautiful agencies, of which I've supported quite a bit of these through the Red Door Church, which is one of the sponsors of the show, and through Champion, and different other people do too. And you want to see these things work. I know OTS Media supports all of these things, and you have guests on. I listen to all this, and we're all out here rescuing. But yet we're creating a scenario in this county in terms of the type of housing that we're speaking of, and to where it's unwanted. I mean, it's beautiful to have gorgeous things in a neighborhood where everybody can afford it, but not everybody can, and that's not everybody's lifestyle.
And as long as it's not in my neighborhood.
Right. Well, that's the key. You can't see it from my house kind of thing. And so what are we, where
There's
are we becoming
of land.
Here?
It's like just move further out.
You're absolutely right. And I think that we as people should pause for a second and we should say, okay, what are we doing to help the people who aren't homeless, but they're not extremely wealthy? They're just, and I hate to say it, normal people, and life's too expensive right now. I think that what you said is hands down exactly hit the nail on the head when you said renting. Renting is a vicious cycle. It's something that you're paying into and you're getting nothing. It's a temporary solution. There's something to be said to buy dirt, literally buy dirt, have something to grow, put your roots in, something to maybe pass along to a child, something that you can make memories on, not something that in 6 months you're picking up because rent went up and now you got to find a new place and there's stress with that. Like, whatever happened to buying a house and that's your forever home, and deciding that you're going to add on to it and get a dog and grow a garden or whatever it may be, that's what I think a lot of people hope and desire to have, but they just can't afford to do so because when you rent, even renting is expensive. We're talking like $1,600 here in York County to rent
a month. Something small.
I mean, my first mortgage, I think, when I was in my early 20s, was like $500 a month.
When was that? Back in the 80s?
Yeah. Not quite that long ago. But just to tell you, that was 20 years ago.
Oh, I know.
And that's insane to me that mortgage prices were that much lower only 20 years ago to where they are now. And rent was that low then. That's about what you would pay to rent a two-bedroom apartment, about $600, $700-ish. How did we get here?
Well, I tell you, that's the burr. Because all you want to hear about all in the news is of all the new facilities that are coming in and all the data centers and all the money it's going to bring in and all these things never really actually appear. But boy, they're good sales pitches, and they're making all these pitches and all these incomes, and we're going to get richer and all that. Okay, so that's beautiful. But, you know, I don't understand from the ministry side and honestly the emotional side is, what good is it to leave people behind? That's really what you're asking. And the decision-making prowess that you see happening in this county is that if you can't afford it, well, then what? What's the next step? So according to statistics, okay, in local homelessness survey, and this is how many they're saying there is, and tracking snapshotting, York County, South Carolina, counted 291 total individuals experience or at risk of housing instability. That's how they label this. This includes 211 sheltered individuals. That's in shelters, transitional groups, et cetera, motels that they're put up, or unsheltered people living outside or in encampments, or 44 individuals, they're saying, classified as at risk. Now, I don't know where that comes from, and that makes a beautiful little omission of a whole lot of things. You cannot tell me there's only 44 homeless people in the city of Rock Hill.
But how are they getting those stats? There's people they don't know about.
Or what's the definition of homeless? You know, are you couch surfing? But there's... And that's a big question, too. Where do you go from truly being in a shelter to your first place? Well, that jump is too big.
Well, I don't even know that we're ever going from a shelter. Like, I spoke with our good friend over at Lifehouse this past week, Courtney Denton, and she shared that there is a administrative executive in a medical industry that they are housing right now in a women's shelter because she makes a good money. She's a single mom, mm-hmm. but she can't afford housing.
That's right.
And that's sad. That's right. That's not somebody
people making $50,000 a year can't afford it.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing in a nutshell.
There's a ton of people that make less than $50,000 a year.
And let me tell you something. And it's like young married couples, maybe young, you know, with kids and all this. And they're trying to get together and they're starting out renting and they're trying to save money and they're trying to get a foothold and a desire. It's insurmountable. Honestly, frankly, I'm getting a little bit tired of hearing about how Octa Pharma is going to do so well for the county. Now, it is. There's an ingestion, $1.5 billion. We can use all those great big numbers. These are unheard of. This is like telling you we're going to go get on a spaceship, and we're going to go land it out here at Champion Services, out here at the sales center, and we're going to fly to the moon. That's exactly what you're talking and speaking to when people, when it can't keep the roof over their head. Or they're struggling to get the power kept on and things. So my idea behind that is, and so with all the regulations in the county, and boy, there's an event coming up, I'm not going to get into that, that has to do with properties that I own and all this other. Well, they've come in and the regulation and the demand of what you're going to have to remove people in these type of situations based on what we deem in pass as it's a mobile community. That it's all it's ever been, And so people have bought RVs and they're living inside this mobile community, and they live very happily, and they live within a means.
Well, they live there by choice too.
They do, and yeah. it's by choice, and it's also by they have the desire to want to get out and have their own roof over their head. They don't want to store up. They don't want to shelter up. We're talking about people who are really trying. What I don't see is the administration in this county. Locally.
Or any county.
Well, this is the problem. Yeah. I don't see anybody reaching out. I'm not just talking about, well, you know what? There's a guy standing on the corner and he's homeless and he's out there with a sign and we're walking up and giving. You know, you got to let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you about what you do. And have I given? Sure. Have I walked up and given food? Have I walked up and said, hey, you know what? I got some stuff I need to do today. You want to help me today? Have I done that just to try to motivate to see? Because you see it and you care. But I don't really know that administratively, tax-wise incentives and all the things, they're so worried about tax values depreciating. Again, you said it, not in my neighborhood. And so here we sit with an opportunity now of a growing number of people. Now, you do the math. How many people make $200,000 plus a year compared to how many people make $75,000 per income or household income a year? What's the ratio? But yet, what wins?
So I think another point to be brought up that goes along with that is household incomes, I think one of the biggest problems right now is there used to be the vouchers that they would give parents to use for childcare that they gave out like to everybody and anybody back post-COVID. Well, they have cut back on that. I was speaking to a owner of a local childcare facility, and she told me, she was sharing, she said, I have moms that have had to pull their kids out and quit their jobs because they can't afford the daycare and work. It's basically covering or not even making enough money to cover daycare. So it makes no sense. So they're sitting at home and they're making no income now because they have to be home with their 3 and 4 year old because they're not of age to go to school. So I think that is part of this vicious cycle that we're crippling people that want to work, want to better themselves. They want to own a house. They want to do all these things, but they can't because they don't feel like they've got an opportunity. And a lot of these big places, like big organizations that are coming in, they're pouring money into our community, but are they pouring it into the right places? How much money went into the school system? Granted, I think education is important, but you should be able to eat and live than be educated,
that's
in my
correct.
Opinion.
There's so many people out here that want to get out and want to do better, want to drive nicer, want to get this, want to do. But the number one thing is we got to have a roof over our head. The number one antic here is, and I'm going to go back to this, and I'm not trying to be political here today. That's not our statement. But this is things right here out here, people listening to the sound of our voices. This is a real need. Don't talk to us anymore about all the new industry that's going to come in. It's going to up the increase for a certain number of people that's going to come in with jobs. I think that's a beautiful thing. I do. So what do? Do we get the rug out and we get the sweeper out and we sweep everybody out of the county that doesn't measure up, who doesn't live in the house like we could live in or would live in? So we go grab them out of the mobile home parks and the trailer parks, and you say, you know what, you don't fit the criteria because here's the rules and regulations that stay, here's what it is. And so we force them into a point where, of all the loving, caring, and all the beautiful things that we do, that they don't have a choice. And so we're not getting help from the local representatives. I'm not talking about wonderful agencies, and I'm gonna name a few of them, if that's okay. Pilgrim's Inn. I'm Family Promise of York County, The Haven. Okay, I'm just turning the pages here. Tender Hearts, it's House of Hope in York. I could go on and on and on. These are places that if you needed services or needed temporary housing or shelters, or maybe there's a terrible split up and for safety reasons you have to get out. And you have to do, these are beautiful facilities, and we support all of them. Well, I there's a reason for that. But let's back up a minute. I'm talking about mandated, I'm talking about legalistic, I'm talking about laws and rules enforced that make the county look better, make all those sitting with the affordability and the availability to make the payments that they can make. But yet, here we are now turning on these people.
So what if, hear me out, So there is always the biggest concern. You always get the biggest rebuttal when you're giving out services or support that's free, that there's people that are going to take advantage of it. They're going to sit back and say, I'm not going to get a job. I can live for free. Or I'm not going to do this. I can get it for free in some way, shape, or form. And those bad apples hurt the people who really need it. What if instead of giving it for free, you make it earned, but not from a monetary sense in that? So maybe you get assistance in the housing. So you get a break in whatever your mortgage is or whatever, but the way that you are able to qualify is you have to give so many hours of volunteering at one of these shelters or some nonprofit.
I know where you're going.
Then you are giving back and helping other people who are in dire need of volunteers, but you are also getting something in return.
You're receiving a grief. Tom, I know you got something boiling in your head because I can see it. I can see the steam coming out. But the idea behind it, and the purpose of this out here, world of listening, and on CN2, is not to stir up or to badger anyone. Real talk is an awareness program. We want to pull up comments and things. We have a lot of fun on here, but this is a serious content for us simply because when I think through these processes and I know what's going on in the world that I'm involved in and I'm seeing it happening, I'm not seeing the result. Incentives. You know, it used to be unemployment insurance. Used to have to go, or unemployment compensation, not insurance, I'm sorry. You used to go out and you had to go have people sign off and sign these things whenever you went and looked for a job. And then they did away with that. There is no reasonability. Now, you know, it's an argument of whether or not when you go to vote, whether or not an ID is even necessary. We have drifted so far from what they call themselves protecting them on certain things, which I don't agree with. IDs should be present. Completely. Let's make that clear. That's a story for another day. Okay. But what we've done is violated and left behind the essentials. And the essentials is the family unit, the home, a roof over your head, and to me, our Lord and Savior. We've left the essentials behind. And so you're forcing people into positions to where it affects their overall cavity, longevity, it affects their marriages, it affects their children. And so now, one of the worst feelings in the world, and I think everybody in the room can agree with this, is to feel unwanted. That's the worst feeling in the world. And so there's demonstrations and things coming down here. I know we're into low-income houses, but it's some of that. You ask me where I'd rather live. I love the home I'm in, but man, I'm happy in a camper. Man, that's easy to clean and cool, and you're in there, and you don't run in. You can run into yourself a couple of times in the thing. It's cool, easy living. It's affordable. It's comfortable, and it's not a stress-free life. It's a life of choice. So at what point is our choices, Tom, being taken away based on legislation and all the things that are happening? I'm not, you know, we've drifted too far from being responsible for those who just can't. They want to, but they just can't.
Well, I think what Catherine said is true. There are lots of programs, loads of programs out there, and they're good, and they're funded. And how can those programs be updated? Can they be changed? Obviously, the answer is yes. And I agree with you that if those programs are being funded already, then we should be able to employ more people instead of just give them something. So obviously, that's all a great idea. But it still doesn't fill that void of even somebody that may be coming out of prison, somebody that's coming out of the homeless shelter. How do you get from there to a $400,000 house? How do you get from there to a $1,700 a month rent? You don't. You can't.
You're keeping them down.
That void is where, if we want the county government to do something to help us, I don't need their money. We have money. We can go buy the land. We can put in the septic system. We can drill
all
a well.
All the infrastructure.
All day long. It can be. We can tell Mecklenburg County, have a bus there every morning at 6 a.m. and have it go to the bus station and drop everybody. All that is there already. So it needs to be a combination of private enterprise, because we still want to be profitable, but we are profitable down there, charging somebody $700 or $800 or $400 or $300 a month, whatever that number is. And now they're, John, you have 9 beautiful sheds out there that are 500, 600, 700 square feet that have electricity. Those things can be converted into small, tiny homes and cottages in a weekend.
But
we have to be way more innovative. And that's where I want the county. I don't want the county's money anymore. You know what I want it to be? I want it to be more open to housing alternatives and zoning, rezoning options.
1,600 square foot minimums.
That's what I'm saying.
You know that.
And it's so funny.
You can't afford 1,600 square feet. At $200 a square foot to build these things, you're at $320,000.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. And it's so, and we wonder why the children are still staying with their parents up to 30, 40 years old. And so many people do not need houses that big. Jade and I are having a house built right now, 1,710 square feet. And I had to beg somebody to build it for me. They're like, well, why do you want a house that small? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's plenty for us. But I am not exaggerating. I finally found somebody that would do it. And it was the smallest thing that they offer. And they thought I was foolish. And it gets back to what me and you know. It costs them less money to build a 4,000 square foot home than it does a 1,700 square foot home.
Well, that's it.
That's a disaster.
And the idea is, and we got 2 minutes left, guys. But and here's the thing, this is the challenge for the things that are already in place, and we're already increasing and making more restrictions and more of this for property values, and we got to keep the property values up. Why do they want to keep the property values up? What comes with higher property values? Higher taxes. Let's don't be unreasonable here. Let's understand that the mitigating issue is a tax revenue that comes through this. I think that there's some regulation that needs to be taken a look at, that we need to offer up the affordability where sectioned areas that are meant for mobile living are designed for that. They live in what they have to and what they might. We're not talking about slumlords. We're talking about people who you want to see them and they want to win.
And they have a yard and they fix it up. I mean, you and I both have RV parks, and I've got tenants that are long-term tenants. They mow their grass. They love life. They're living within their means and actually saving money.
But these are the people that are the unwanted now.
Yeah.
You have to understand, they're marked for eviction. Yeah. Trust me when I say this, and I've got the proof to back it up. Yeah. Pending time periods. There are laws that are coming into effect in 2027 that are going to affect those kind of people. They're going to remove them, and it's going very quietly and very shy. Well, it ain't going to be quiet here shortly.
Because nobody wants to talk about that.
That's it, Kat.
You know.
30 seconds.
I think that we need to be better as a society in that sometimes it's not about the problem that you think it is. It's a bigger problem at hand. It's not about just fixing where do they live. It's about fixing the life that they're living and making them and their lifestyle better. It's not the home. It's the household.
You ever heard the expression, and I'm going to end with this out here in listening world. This is real talk. Good morning. It's Saturday morning, but I'm going to say this. You ever heard the expression, home is where the heart is? And there's another one. It's really simple. You find the right person, you live in a tent with them. But not in York County. The show is real talk. Good morning, everybody. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church, a ministry that loves this community. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.